written on the board, clear the lanes. I'd like to start this morning in the first psalm, maybe read the first three verses. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There was a reason why this man, the man that this first psalm is speaking of, there's a reason why he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel that we can so easily be drawn into. Those of us that are here today, even. So easy to be drawn into the counsel of the ungodly. But there's a reason why this person didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a reason why he didn't stand in the way of sinners. The reason why he didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. One was that he didn't allow himself to be drawn into this sometimes deceitful progression. If you notice the scripture, he starts off that he didn't walk, and then he didn't stand, and then he didn't sit. Did you catch that? Sometimes we can be walking through places we don't need to walk. And if we continue to walk through places that we shouldn't be walking, sometimes we'll stop and we'll stand. And if we continue to stand in places we probably don't need to be standing, sometimes we'll sit. We'll become comfortable, and our lives will then begin to take on the environment that we have placed ourselves in. And this man didn't walk, he didn't stand, he didn't sit. Under these influences that would not be good for him, number one. But even more than that, he purposefully delighted in something else. He delighted in something else, to the point of deliberate action. He made something else a priority. He intentionally planted himself by rivers of life. And it's important to note here that he planted himself at the river of life. God didn't plant him there. He made a decision that that's where he wanted to be planted. And he didn't wander in and out of that space. He didn't come into it when it was convenient to come into, or when it seemed like, well, I need help. I probably need a little bit of life right now. I think maybe I'll go to the river of life and see if I can get something because I'm really in need. And then wander back out to go do whatever it was that suited him, even though it was away from where God gives life, only to try to come back to it at another time. But this is speaking of a man that came and planted himself. This is where my life is going to revolve around. This river that runs in front of me, this is where I'm going to plant myself. This man made time and space for what mattered most. And that was to be fed from above. And when he did that, it allowed God to prosper his life. And that's what I want. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want God to prosper your life? There's no other place that you can live, folks. Young people, children, there's no other place that you can go in life where in the end you look back and you say, it was good. My life has prospered. I am satisfied to move on to the next life. There's no other place that that can be found but right here. Have you ever had a destination that you wanted to get to, and so maybe you got up in the morning and maybe the destination was a ways away, and so you looked to see how many miles away it was, and maybe it was a ways away, but then you understand how fast your car goes. You got a good engine in it, reliable engine. It can get you where you need to go, and so maybe you look at, maybe you get online and look at MapQuest or Google Maps or whatever it is. You know what? This looks like this is going to work out just fine. I'm going to be able to get to this place, my destination, on time. And it's very important to get there. Not an opportunity I want to miss. And so you make sure that everything looks good. And so you get in your car and you take off and you go, but you didn't make it in time. In fact, not only did you not make it in time, you missed it completely. Missed opportunity that maybe it's not an opportunity that's going to come by again. And it's not because your car wasn't fast enough. It's not because your car wasn't reliable enough. It's not because the engine couldn't get you down the road fast enough, but it is because you encountered clogged lanes. You encountered more traffic on the road than what you thought. Maybe you encountered construction. You encountered traffic jam. Maybe lots of people out there that you didn't think were going to be out there. And so you missed it. You missed the opportunity. And regardless of how many reasons that you have that you believe that you did this right, that it wasn't your fault. Aren't we that way sometimes as humans? We quickly say, yeah, but I left early enough. Well, I looked at it. It was only this many miles. I did it right. Regardless of what you believe you did right, regardless of what you believe you didn't do wrong. Don't we do that sometimes too? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. The end result is you missed it. Missed the opportunity. It doesn't matter what reasons you have, there's no reasons that you can give that will change the final outcome. Are you following me so far? You missed it. Whether you wanted to miss it or not, you missed it. And nothing can change that. Well, my burden this morning goes beyond traffic jams, goes beyond clogged lanes on the road. I'm thinking spiritual this morning. Most of us, I would say all of us, we have capable enough lives. I would say it that way. We have strong enough engines. They're fast enough. We've all been given gifts by God. The scripture says that He gave some one, and He gave some two, and He gave some five. But He gave gifts. And He's given callings. And we even have desire. I believe all of us here this morning can say amen to the fact that we have a desire to serve the Lord. Scripture says the Spirit, it indeed is willing. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto works. He created us and gave us what we need to be able to do good things in life. Created us for good works. And he did. He gave us gifts. He gave us talents. He gave us calling. He gave us that place in our heart that draws towards something bigger than what we are. If we'll listen to it. He gave us all of those things. Purpose, gifts, and spiritual wherewithal, if I can say it that way. We're not weak in Jesus. Our talents that we have are not too small. We're well equipped. See, the issue most times is not that we don't have a big enough engine. The issue most of the time is not that we don't have the required wherewithal in our lives. That's usually not the issue. The issue is the environment that we have something to say about. It is the environment that we're trying to make our talents work in. It's the environment. Even the fastest car can't move on a clogged highway. You might have a 70s vintage four-speed Toyota Corona. I have some experience with that car. Maybe that's the only car you have. You might have a Corvette. I don't have any experience with that car. But neither one of those cars will get you down a clogged highway. They'll both get you down the road if they work. But it doesn't matter if you have a Corvette. If the highway is clogged, neither one of those vehicles is going to get you where you need to go. You can have the most powerful central processing unit in your computer that Best Buy will sell, or maybe somebody else sells them. And you can spend money and get that processor that is fast. We like our computers to work fast, don't we? Have you ever noticed this funny thing that you go and you get a faster computer and it still seems to operate about the same speed as your old one? Has anybody ever noticed that, or is that just me? And then you get a little further down the line, it's like, I don't need a faster computer than this. This is not working like I thought it was going to work. And lo and behold, the thing still doesn't work as fast as you think it should work. And you know why? You know what's happening? What's happening is there's more and there's more and there's more that is being put on these computers and that we are running on our computers, and it is clogging the lanes of the processing unit. Sometimes they say, well, you got a 4-core processor. You got 4 lanes. You got little processors in all of these lanes with which to do work. But you can add the fastest computer processor out there. But you got so much stuff in the background running, it is going to clog those lanes and it can cause that processor to freeze up. Just like your car. Your calling, your spiritual calling, the talents that you've been given, the understanding you have of the Word of God, it might all be in place. But you can be stuck if your lanes are jammed. God most often doesn't need us to have more talent and more ability. What God wants from us is He needs us to free up some lanes in our life. And what does that mean? What does it mean when we talk about clearing the lanes? What am I thinking of here? Yes, of course it's our heart. God wants our heart. He asks that if you come and you're going to follow me, I want I want the whole of your heart. But that is going to have to include time and space. We're going to have to give the Lord time and space in our life. And so he asks that we give the first fruit of our mind, our body, our strength. Did you know that, I find it striking that in the scriptures, there's multiple verses that say that, to serve the Lord with all of your mind, your body, and your strength. I can live my life in a way that my body physically gets completely tired out, but I still have maybe some bandwidth left in my mind. It was like, Lord, I still have some bandwidth left. I can wrap my mind around this, but my body's so tired, I just can't go. And then other times, we can allow so many things to get a hold of our minds and rent space in our mind. It's like our mind has all these little houses all through our brains, and we rent out these houses to all these things. And we just renting our mind out and the space in our mind. All these houses we plug up with things in our mind. And we get it so full that even if we still feel like we have energy and we can go, our mind is so plugged up and full, we just seems like we can't take in anything more. And so the Lord asks that we give of our first fruits. And we've read the verse many times here lately where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Prioritize time and space for what matters most. Spiritual responsibilities, what God wants from us in life. Have you ever seen those HOV lanes? Have you ever seen one of those? I don't think we have them around here too much, but we go to Texas sometimes, and you have these HOV lanes. You know what HOV stands for? HOV stands for High Occupancy Vehicle. And you can be driving along, and they can define that however they want. They've actually, a lot of times, if you have two, then that's okay. That qualifies you as a high occupancy vehicle. But the intent of those lanes is so that they don't get clogged by all of the other traffic, and it is intended to get people to double up or triple up in their cars to reduce the amount of traffic on the road. And these lanes, and then the other idea is that if you do that, you'll have this lane where you can travel. You don't get caught up in these traffic jams so much. You can go. And I wonder sometimes if we should think about having an SOV lane, a spiritually occupied vehicle, and have some lanes in our lives that we protect it. You know that if you get on those HOV lanes and you're not a HOV car and you get caught, you can get ticketed for that. See, they're serious about it. They want to keep those lanes clear and reserved so that they can be used for what has been determined to be a higher priority. Cars that have more people in it. And I think it would be good for us, as just a thought, if sometimes we would be more careful and deliberate about maintaining some SOV lanes in our lives, so that we don't find ourselves with every single lane so plugged that when the Lord comes along and has exactly what we need, if we just go get there, we got so many other things going on in our lives, we can't even get through all of the clogged lanes and the roadblocks that we ourselves create by allowing all of this background stuff to get into our minds and our lives. And And then it hinders us, because when our lanes are full, there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of distraction, and they're full. God has a hard time working through our lives. And did you know that good things can clog our lanes? Did you know that? The scripture said that Martha was troubled about many things. Jesus said, Martha, you're troubled about many things. Martha, you are allowing yourself to be distracted from what is most important by many things. And you know what we do as humans, as Christians? I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for you. But I do think that it's human nature. What we do a lot of times is we evaluate things based upon whether we think it's right or wrong. Whether it's sin or not sin. Especially if we really want to do it. And we look at it and we say, well, that's not sin. And so that gives us a green light. And then we look at something else and say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And so give it a green light. And then we evaluate what comes into our lives based on whether we think that thing in and of itself is okay or not okay. When really, what would be better for us to do is to evaluate the things that come into our lives. Brother DeRyan spoke of being a responsible gatekeeper in his prayer. Lord wants us to be gatekeepers of what comes into our lives and comes into our minds, so that we are careful that we don't plug everything so full that it gets in the way of what it matters most. Not whether we think that it's right or wrong on its surface or on its merits, but how is it going to affect my relationship with God? And this is a little bit of a tangent. It's a little bit of a cousin to my thought this morning, which is really around time and space. But it gets to our heart too. That is, am I letting something in that is going to begin to affect my heart in a way that distracts it from giving itself to the thing that matters most? Is it going to distract, clog the lanes, get my heart in this traffic jam, and keep it from going out to where it really needs to be? Or is it going to do that with my time and space? That is a better way to evaluate the decisions we make in life. How is it going to affect me in my quest to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? How is it going to affect my ability to do that rather than, well, is it sin? Is it not sin? Those are important questions, and we need to know that. If it is sin, it's out. We don't even consider it. It's gone. But that's not the last consideration that I think is wise for us to give. Because if that's the only consideration we give, we're going to end up with clogged lanes. And keeping our lanes open, that is our part. That is one of the responsibilities that God gives us. He gives us the right to choose. And God doesn't come and He gives us talents. That's His part. He's going to come and He's going to give you one and two and five talents. And He'll make sure to give you a boost of nitrous if you need it. You know, at a given time, it's like, wow, I didn't expect that. That was more than what I thought. God is there to pour in those things. But it's up to us, to a large extent, to make space for God. That's one of our responsibilities. And it is a tool that the enemy uses with good people to hinder us from getting where we're trying to go. Worked with a man that used to say, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And that always stuck with me. Devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Can't get you to sin, can't get you to violate the moral law of God, he'll get you to the place where you are so full you can't live in the way that God wants you to live. And so the writer of Hebrews said of the 12th chapter, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. look at your life. Take stock of your life. Not just, you know, once every great while, but Lord, try my heart. Help me to be honest with myself. Help me to recognize those things that maybe they're not sin. If they are sin, need to get them out of your life. But maybe it's not sin. Maybe it is a weight that is besetting us. And the responsibility that we have when it says lay aside, that means you lay aside. It doesn't mean that God's going to lay all those things aside. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, why aren't you working in my life? Lord, why don't I have the victory that I'd like to have? It's because we aren't willing to lay aside some of those things that are hindering us. It's like, if you'll bear with my artist work. Sometimes we have all of these okay things that are attached to us. We're trying to get down the road. And we say, well, that's not sin. And this isn't wrong. It's like we just talked about it a minute ago. I've looked at this. Nobody can point anything in the Bible that says this wrong. And we're just dragging this stuff, trying to get down the road. And this, so the writer said, some of these things you gotta cut. Because they're weights. Sometimes we have to lay aside non-sinful things. And other times, we're trying to go down this road and we allow all of these things to plug up the road that we're on. And sometimes we have to come along and we say, I'm going to take that out of my life. It's background. It is hindering my ability to live for the Lord. Some things aren't sinful, they're just heavy. They're just heavy, and they become all-consuming. I remember when we hadn't been married very long, and we had one child, and I'd get up in the morning early, and I'd go work all day at the plant, and I saw this car I really liked. I don't have anything against cars and doing what I'm getting ready to tell you. So I found this car that I really liked, and I wanted to fix it up, and I wanted to buy it. So I bought this little convertible MGB, 1980 MGB. Brought it home, put it in the garage, needed a lot of work. And every day that I came home from work, here sat this car with this work that needed to be done, and I just couldn't hardly allow that unfinished business to sit in the garage. And so what happened was, I got off work, I came home, put my stuff down, I went out into the garage, and I went to work. Ate a quick dinner. We had family worship before we went to bed, but that became my life. I go to work, I come home, go out in the garage, work on this car till it was evening, got that car done, sold it, found another car, found a 70s Camaro, needed work, did the same thing. Brought it home, needed work, needed attended to, things out there in the garage that weren't done yet, and I had a hard time not attending to what I knew needed to be done in that car. So I'd get off work, I'd come home, I'd go out in the garage, I'd spend all of my time. And in the meantime, there was a whole lot of other things on the other side of the door that was also unfinished business, that also needed attended to. And I wasn't attending to it like I should have. Nothing wrong with cars, y'all, don't get me wrong. May get another car someday and work on it. But at that time of my life and the propensity that I had, and I wasn't managing it very well, that thing became a weight, and I had to cut it off and stop doing that. Some things aren't wrong, they just crowd out what's right. Some things aren't wrong, they just crowd out what you really need in your life and what matters most. So speed, ability, talent that we have, it doesn't help if the lanes are clogged. It doesn't help you get down the road. Lots of times we point to our calling and our talents. And we say, well, if I had more talent, if I had more ability, then I could do more. Look, if God gives you one talent, you're going to depend on God giving the increase. But I will also tell you this, that if he gives you five talents, you're dependent on God to give the increase on five talents too, because five talents won't get you where you need to go. We can miss that sometimes. It doesn't matter the talents that he gives us. He still has to give the increase. And if we plug the lanes and fill everything up and don't allow him time and space, then we hinder his ability to move through our life and bless us. And so he desires our space more than he needs to give us more capability. And Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord, and I was inspired with that verse this way, those that wait on the Lord, those that give the Lord time and space, he'll renew your strength. He'll bless your lives. He'll be able to go before you and get you where you need to go. He's not asking us to run faster most of the time. He's asking us to give him more room. So the question this morning, my burden is, what's clogging your lanes? What's consuming your bandwidth in your mind? What's filling your schedule? Maybe hindering or even causing your soul to starve. You may feel like, well, I only have two mites to give. You know, the lady that gave two mites, but she gave everything she could give. And sometimes, depending on the season of life that we're in, doing God's work, having a family, busy time of life, when you have small children at home, consumes a lot of time and a lot of space, but it's God's work. Sometimes in those areas of life when the men are, they're doing everything they can to provide for their family and they're trying to make a go of it, be a good steward of it, which is a God-given responsibility too. You got a family, you have all of these things going on in your life. Sometimes you feel like, well, I only have this little bit left and it's not enough to do any good, so I guess I'll just throw my hands up. Be encouraged this morning to plant yourself by the kingdom of God. Plant yourself by the rivers of water. Sometimes it means that you might have to let go of some things for a season that aren't necessarily sin, lest we become, as verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. If you do this and you live this way, then when you get to the end of the way, you're going to find out, I missed it. I missed the opportunity. For the Lord knoweth, he knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So this is my message this morning. In the midst of a very busy world with many attractions, many distractions, many things that aren't necessarily sin and wrong, let's be intentional about protecting our spiritual lanes. Let's be intentional about clearing where we need to clear to allow God to work in our lives, and then also give ourselves space so that we can respond to how God is working with us. And when we do, then we too will bring forth fruit in season, and the Lord will prosper our lives. Pray for me, because I'm living this world too, and I have these things to deal with like everybody else, and I want to get to the end of the way successfully. I don't want to miss the most important opportunity in life, and that is to be at peace with God. Amen.